Assalamu alaikum. This is Maliha Teaches for Muslim Health Talk. What exactly does Muslim Health Talk mean? It means nourishing our body, nourishing our soul, nourishing our mind, and nourishing our heart. And the best way of doing that is following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and instilling it in our daily life. Let's get started. Bismillah. So today I want to discuss a topic that I think many people need to talk about, because there's such a need for understanding mental health, especially when we're talking about mothers, right? Especially when we're talking about not just mothers who are young and going through having children, but I want to discuss about mothers who have been mothers for over 2 decades, who have adult children, who have teenagers, who have so much on their plate, so much more than we could imagine. You know, when we are first mothers, we have children, we're blessed with such beautiful gifts. We are physically tired. We don't understand what mental exhaustion means yet. And as our children age and they become teenagers and they become adults, and when we talk about adults in Islam, we're talking about baligh. We're talking about when our child goes through puberty, when our child understands and is responsible for all the fara'ids that they have to do, the namaz, the prayer, the fasting, the pillars of Islam. And that is either at the age that they reach puberty or 15 years old, in at least in one madhab. And when our children are become adults, there's more of a challenge on our mental state, right? There's a lot more trying to get them to understand what needs to be done, what the purpose of life is, the fact that they need to have goals and reach their goals. And it's not easy when they don't agree with that, when they don't see it. I find myself, like, I have all teenagers in my household right now. And I find myself always reminding them of what they need to get done or what they shouldn't do or what they... It's not physical exhaustion, it's mental exhaustion, it's emotional stress. It's a lot closer to what hurts my heart, right? It what challenges my mind, what exhausts me. And for example, I'll give you an example. Like, a few of my kids have cell phones. And we know that cell phones are a very difficult thing to handle because they are built so that we are become addicted to it, right? With all these apps and social media and other things. And I find myself, like, reminding them over and over again how they need to understand this. And when it becomes too much and they have it, they're on that gadget for so long, they need to understand as adults that they have to do something about it. They have to either turn off the app, uninstall the app, turn off the phone, put the phone away from themselves and walk away. Like, I shouldn't be the one monitoring them all the time. I'd like to, but you want to be able to at some point stop parenting your adult child, right? And the truth is that children are not, our adult children are not moving on as fast as they used to, right? When I was around the college years, I was more independent. I had a job. I paid for a lot of my stuff. And eventually my goal was to get married and move out. Nowadays, we have adult children, 25, 30, beyond 30 years old. You know, going away to college, coming back to home, living in their parents' home, and making life very difficult. And as a mom, as a parent, after 20 plus years of parenting, after 30 plus years of parenting, you want, you deserve to have the house to yourself, to be able to now take a break and do what you want to do, right? And it's difficult when you have children, adult children around the house that you still have to parent. Like, I found myself getting very upset at my eldest this past weekend when he, I mean, my kids are good, alhamdulillah. For the most part, our kids are good. They do certain things. But sometimes you find yourself getting very upset because they're on that cell phone for so long. And I just couldn't take it anymore. And I said, you know, I'm tired of parenting an adult. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm exhausted. And even though it's mental exhaustion, it's your body is exhausted. Right? You can't keep going. So there are a few things that I feel like we need to do or have on a list as parents. When we realize that our home is not our home anymore. The emptiness nest is not coming to us as it did to our parents. We don't have that space to do as we wish, especially when we are constantly reminding and guiding our kids to do what's needed to be done. So if I am telling my child they need to do their chores around the house, they need to complete their homework, they need to go and find a job, they need to take care of their room, etc., etc., and then I decide I'm tired, I need to sit down, I can't take that break. Because they're around the house, I can't take that break. Because they see that I might sit down, they make a comment and say, well, why don't you do something? Young children, adult children nowadays will talk back and make you feel like you're one of them. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm a mom. I've done this. I've stressed already. I don't need this attitude. But you're unable to respond back because you don't have that freedom to be able to just relax. Right? Well, if they were away, if they were already married, if they were already in their own home, if they were already with their own children, which should be what should be happening at 20, 25, but it's not. It's being delayed. Your time to take a break, to take a breather after raising, after struggling for 20 plus years has not come. And this frustration can be really built up in you. And what happens is that mothers end up going through either anxiety or depression, or maybe even both. And then when it first comes on, you don't really realize what's happening. You don't understand that I'm going through anxiety or I'm going through depression. You're just in a really difficult state and you don't know how to get out. So before this happens, and if this happens to you, there are a few things that I think we should realize we need to do. We need to have in our schedule, in our day, to balance our life so we don't fall into that trap of worrying too much and becoming anxious, losing hope and not finding our way and becoming very, very sad and falling into depression. And one of the things I think that should be on that list, number one, is some form of exercise. As moms, we need to have some form of exercise we do every single day. Whether that means going on a walk every morning. And I did that for a while and it really, really helped. And even though in the back of my mind, I tell myself, do I really need that exercise? Do I really need that 1 hour? Can I really sacrifice 1 hour early in the morning? Maybe I should cook breakfast. Maybe I should clean. Maybe I should do this for my kids. I have to stop myself and say, no, I need to put myself first. If I do not put that life jacket on, and that on myself first, I'm not going to survive. I'm not going to be okay. And so even though I'd like to use that 1 hour in the morning doing something else that I feel is more productive or gives my life more meaning maybe, or help someone else, because we are such sacrificial creatures as mothers, I have to remember, and constantly I had to remind myself every single day for the first week, that no, I need this walk. I need this time to myself. I need this break. And 1 hour of it is not a waste of time when I put it on myself. And what happens when you go on this walk is a lot of things. You hear the birds singing. You see the squirrels. You see the flowers blooming. You see the greenery all around you with the trees. You look at the neighborhood houses. You, wherever you go on a walk, your mind slowly clears up. And all that worry and running around and exhaustion and all that stress slowly begins to leave you. It doesn't happen on the first day. It might happen on the third day of your walk. And you slowly walk. And this exercise of walking, not running, not jogging, not going to the gym, but just walking for an hour or even a half hour, is such a stress reliever. It's unbelievable. Scientifically, it's proven if you walk for about an hour and you look at the greenery, the trees and the bushes and the grass and the flowers, it is proven that you will de-stress. There's a biological chemical thing that goes on. When you see green, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's favorite color was green, and green identifies as balanced and happy and peaceful. Just looking into nature helps relieve all the stress. So that's one thing that's really important. Now, some might say, well, I don't have the time for walking, or I don't want to, I don't like walking. Is there something else I can do? I would highly suggest you do implement walking, but if you're not able to, there are other forms of exercise you can do. You know, you can garden in your backyard. You're still looking at green. You can, if you don't want to walk in the morning, you can walk in the afternoon. You can just drive to a park and just sit and look at the nature, right? Or you can even, if you're, after you wake up for Fajr, you pray Fajr, and then you say, I'm too tired, I don't need to wake up for this hour. I can wait until like 7 a.m. You can lie in your bed and just exercise your feet and arms and limbs. I used to work in the hospital, and the one thing that was so important for patients who were kind of bedridden and couldn't get up was that the nurses would exercise their limbs every day for 5 to 10 minutes, just to make sure that the circulation is going and flowing. And even though we might feel too weak to get up and do that cardio or that exercise or whatever it is, because sometimes because we do so much for our families, we do feel exhausted. What we can do is just lie flat on the floor or on our bed without the pillow on our head and exercise our feet. Just lift up one leg at a time and bend it and lift it and bend it until you feel like it's too much. And then go on to the other leg and do the same with the arms and just continue to do it. Bend and lift and raise. This is also a really good form of exercise. You're not stressing your body, but you're giving your body what it needs. Another thing that is really important is to have a comfortable, safe haven, space, desk in your room. And I say in your room because sometimes when you have too much going around in the house, you want to have a place where you could escape to. And your bedroom is probably the best place. You want to make sure that this desk is something pretty to look at. It's clean with a nice comfortable chair. It's in an area maybe next to a window, so there's light coming in. And if not, maybe you might want to have a lamp there just in case you want to use it in the evening when it's dark elsewhere. You want to make sure you have things that you really like on that desk. Maybe a vase with flowers that you pick from the yard. Maybe your laptop. Maybe your journal that you want to pull out and write in all the beautiful things, all the stressful things, whatever you want to pour your heart out to that journal. And that's another exercise you want to do. Maybe a candle with a fragrance in it that you really love, or a sash with some lavender that you've dried up and picked and put in, so that when you sit at your desk, maybe even a cup with that you could pour a drink in. Maybe even that you want to write in, you know, all the things, all the beautiful things that happened during the day, all the stressful things, the worry, what your thoughts are. It's really important to write your thoughts down, because sometimes we think about things, but we don't necessarily understand them clearly until we either write about them or we talk about them. And this form of writing in your journal or talking to somebody who understands you, not just somebody who will listen to you, but somebody who you feel understands what you're going through, is a very therapeutic way of feeling good, feeling content, feeling understood, feeling like validated, right? A lot of people will say, you know, I go to a psychiatrist or I go to a therapist, and they don't necessarily worry about what that psychologist or therapist believes in. And I think it's very important that they believe in God. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They understand accountability, because otherwise you'd be talking to somebody that is that doesn't really believe in the soul and the hereafter, and that's kind of scary, right? But the other important thing is that psychologists and therapists will listen, but they don't necessarily make you feel like you are understood, that you are supported. But when you talk to friends, when you talk to people who are going through the same problem as you are, you feel a different sort of support. You feel an acceptance, a validation. And even though your friend might not have the answers for you, you go away feeling like things will be okay. There's a new day. And that feeling you do not get from just any therapist. You get it from somebody who cares about you, somebody who loves you, somebody who will be there for you, somebody who understands you. They don't have to have answers. They're just there to support you. And that support is very, very huge in anything you do. So sometimes when you write in your journal, even though it might not be another person, you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're writing in your journal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, wants the best for you. So this exercise in writing in your journal is really important. So having that space to go to when you have a stressful day is really important. And having a desk with a journal and a computer is the ideal thing. Another thing what you want to do is that even though we don't believe that money buys happiness, right? it can, what we do know for sure is that it can give you some sort of contentment. It can make you feel happy on days you don't really feel like smiling. So I would suggest all women, all moms, all wives to have a bank account for themselves, a little stashed away money somewhere where they can, you know, use whenever they want to. And for some, this might mean you have to get up and go find a part-time job or some sort of a job. And even though I'm not one to say mothers should go out and work, when our kids are teenagers, it's probably a good breather, you know, for you to get out just for a few hours, just a few times a week, and have a change in atmosphere, interact with other people, do something where others tell you or confirm that you are a helpful person, a great friend, where they appreciate what you do and they value your work. So having some sort of a part-time job not only will help you have that income where you can spend on things that make you happy. You know, for example, maybe you want to go out to eat once a week and you want to treat your kids, and that makes everyone happy. But if you didn't have that extra money, you wouldn't be able to because of the finances that you're going through. And this is the world we live in nowadays, right? No matter how hard our spouse works, it's not enough because of how the economy is working and how expensive everything is. So having that extra money is really, really good, really helpful. Sometimes you might want to take your kids to a coffee shop or out for ice cream. Or maybe you want to treat yourself and you want to buy something just for you. And I'm not talking about materialistic things. I am not talking about... I'm talking about the average mom that struggles, that sacrifices for their children, that if she goes and buys, you know, a bracelet for herself because she feels pretty when she wears it, or earrings that she's never was able to purchase. It gives you a form of happiness that you can't get if you, you know, any other way. And so it's nice to have that income coming in. And for example, I was able to move to a new area and I didn't know anyone around here, but alhamdulillah, there's a lot of opportunities I can do. And it's, for me, it was more comfortable to work in the masjid, and I was able to, alhamdulillah, and interact with people and get to know the community also, and also be appreciated. Number four would be to create. So as humans, we need to create all the time. And even though we cook for our children and our family and our spouse, sometimes because we cook all the time, we cook and we clean and we do all the things around the house, our work, our hard work and effort doesn't get appreciated. So our children becomes very, very, they question everything we make. They don't appreciate the fact that we do the laundry and we clean the house. They don't appreciate the fact that we create beautiful meals. Like for example, my kids will pick at my food because I focus on healthy meals. And instead of saying, "Oh, mommy, thank you so much for focusing on keeping us healthy," they'll complain. And so that appreciation doesn't get to me through creating meals. So now I need to create something that I will appreciate, that others will appreciate. So for example, what I do, because I sat down and I thought about, what did I do before I had children, before I got married? I was a bubbly and happy and fun person to be around and very creative person. And I remember I used to focus a lot on the arts. I used to do photography and I used to do drawing and painting and sewing and all kinds of things. So when I was really, really stressed, I decided that I needed to bring that back. So you want to think about the things that you are already good in, that you did when you were a young girl that brought you happiness. So for me, I have at least two things. Three things, actually. You want to have more than one things to create. One is that I will draw still life and color it. So, and I love using pastel because I love the colors and I love the fact that it blends together. And so I'll go in my yard and I'll cut a flower or I'll take an apple or whatever, anything. And I'll just put it on the desk and I'll start drawing it. And sometimes it takes me a day, sometimes it takes me days. But you need to focus on doing this as a fulfilling, beautiful thing, not as something you want to complete right away, not as something you have to get done, something you enjoy. Live in the moment, enjoy the art of drawing, the art of coloring, the art of painting. Find joy in it. It should give you joy. It should make you feel good, not something that you just have to get done, right? Another thing that I do is I do embroidery. And I have these kits that I've purchased and they already have the fabric with beautiful drawings of flowers. And all I do is I slowly embroider. And sometimes I do it for 5 minutes a day. Sometimes I'll do it once a week. Sometimes I'll do it four times a week. Whenever I feel the need to just kind of de-stress, but do something that I find joy in, but not something that that needs my mental focus on. Not listen to a lecture, not read, not, you know, none of that. Something that just gives me joy because it's beautiful, because it's creative. And I have that in the living room in a bag. And whenever I want to, I will just grab it and I will just focus on it. And it really makes me feel good. The third thing I do for creativity is that I like making products that are natural. So I'll make my own soap. I will make my own deodorant, I will make my own lotion, I will make my own chapstick. You know, there's a handful of things that I have all the ingredients for that I've tried and done. And whenever I need it, I will create it. And that takes some time. So, for example, yesterday I had a lot of fruits left over and I knew no one was going to eat it. I had plums from my backyard, I had peaches, I had apple pear that my mom had given me from her backyard, and I took a little bit of each one of them, and I cut them up, I washed them, and I made jam out of them, and I put them in small little jars, and I loved doing it because it was fun. The smell of it just made me feel so good. You know, the kitchen was smelled so beautiful, so refreshing. It tastes so good. It was just lovely. And I had like nasheeds in the background, listening to it while I was doing it so I can say some salawats. And I put them in small little jars and I labeled them. And I had many, many jars. And the reason I had that is because, like I said before, when we do things for our children, clean the house, cook for them, they don't really appreciate it because it's so redundant and we've done it for them over and over again. It's like they're spoiled. It's like they expect it. So I made these jars to give out to people who would appreciate it, like my sister and my neighbor and my friend. And I made a basket for my mother-in-law, and I put fruits in there, extra fruits that I had, with a jar of jam. And it looked so pretty. It made me feel good. It made her feel good. And it was just, it's wonderful. It's important for us to be appreciated, right, by others. That feeling of appreciation, because we have older kids and we have children and we have family members at home who don't show us that appreciation, we need to get that from somewhere. And usually it's really good and easy to do it with friends and siblings and coworkers and neighbors. And that appreciation is crucial, because as humans, we need to be appreciated, right? But sadly, as mothers, after a while, when our children are older, teens and young adults, they don't show us that crucial, that really much needed appreciation. And sometimes even our husband is in that list of not showing us the appreciation. But as humans, we need it. We need to be told that we are loved and that we are cared for and that we are appreciated and what we do is important and that we are special. And so this will help, you know, doing little things for people that you care about outside your home will help you. Will help you feel more of like a human being, right? Will remind you of who you were before you have children. And I'm not saying that having kids is such a horrible thing, but because they're at that age where they're struggling in their own life, teenagers don't necessarily appreciate you for what you really should be appreciated. And so we have to find that outlet elsewhere. So another thing, number five, would be to take care of yourself and have a night or morning routine. So because I walk in the morning, my routine is in the evening. So right before I go to bed, I make sure that I take care of myself. And the way I do this is that after I pray my Isha, or even before, while I'm doing my wudu, I make sure I spend 5 to 10 minutes taking care of myself. So that may mean, you know, doing some sort of a home facial or putting on a mask. Or so what I did this morning, and because it was Friday, I decided I have some time, I'm going to do this. After I read my Surah Kaf, I had some time. I said, I'm going to take care of myself. So what I do is I take boiling water, I put it in a bowl, I kind of hover my nose and face over it, and it's kind of like steam on my face without getting burned. And I allow the pores of my nose to open up because we all have blackheads, right? And then I just slowly try to get all the blackheads out with napkins and towels. And then I used the towel, dipped it into the hot water and kind of squeezed it and just tapped my face and cleaned my face with it. And then I put this salt and oil solution, which is kind of like a salt scrub. You can make that, but I purchased it and it was all natural. So it's just salt, Himalayan salt, sea salt, and I think it was olive oil. It could be almond oil, anything, but it's a salt scrub. So I took a little bit of it. I rubbed it all on my face, especially on areas where I wanted it to be, like I wanted the skin to be kind of scrubbed and cleaned and whatnot. And I left it on for a few minutes and kept on scrubbing my face with my fingers. And then I took a damp towel, with warm water and just cleaned my face. And it felt so good. So I gave myself a home facial, right? Sometimes I'll use lemon and I'll sprinkle some sugar on it, a half a lemon, sprinkle some sugar and just scrub my face. So you give yourself a face scrub. And sometimes I will just pick a piece of aloe from my backyard, cut it through the middle and just put it all over my face. But everything I do is totally natural. And you could either go the natural way, you could either buy products and just anything, any routine to take care of your face, your hands, your legs, whatever that will make you feel good, right? You could even have one of those little handheld machines that give you a massage, electrical ones, right? You can give your shoulders a massage, you can give your legs a massage, whatever routine you do, it should be for about 10 to 25 minutes every day if possible. And this is a way of giving back and taking care of yourself. Because as mothers, this is one thing we don't do, right? We take care of everyone else and we forget about ourselves. And when we do that, our body is an amana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said, you know, sacrifice yourself for the whole world and forget about yourself. Because when we do that, this is why, this is how we will fall into the trap of worry and stress and anxiety and depression. At least one way, right? But if we take care of ourselves and we keep these routines of doing certain things that make us happy, that gives us contentment, that we put ourselves first for a few minutes during the day, this will help us physically, mentally, emotionally, and balance ourselves. Right, so the few things we talked about was, one, having an exercise routine, two, having an area in your room with a desk and a lighted area where you can escape to for a few minutes during the day, having money so that you can spend it on little things that make you happy, that might mean that you need to get a job, a part-time job, creating something, whether it's embroidery or drawing or making jam, having a morning or night routine to take care of yourself, writing in your journal. And one last thing I want to add is watching something that will be a stress reliever. For some, it might be comedy. For others, it might be watching something in nature. For me, I recently purchased the whole entire season of I Love Lucy because she's just so funny, right? It's just very clean humor from many, many years ago that you can watch with your family, with your kids, and there's nothing wrong with it. A lot of the TV shows and the movies nowadays, I stay far away from because I cannot undo all the negative messages that they give. So I like the old-fashioned things a lot. And I Love Lucy is very clean and very, very funny, and it's a stress reliever. And so I decided we're in the summer. As long as we get all our chores and all our activities and all of our work done during the day, my children and I will watch one episode or a few episodes of I Love Lucy during the day. And I bought the whole 9 seasons because if I need a break and I want to go in that corner in my room, I want to be able to watch something where I feel de-stressed. So I hope all these, I think it was 6 tips that I said, and there's many, many more. And if I think of it, I will come back to it. But these 6 tips have helped me greatly. Like, I was at a point where I was very anxious, and I couldn't get out and I couldn't sleep, and I was worried and I didn't know why. And the worst part is I couldn't get myself out of it. And finally, when I did, I realized I needed to sit down and think of things to do to make me happy, to bring joy in my life, to stop myself from worrying, to stop myself from stressing so much to put my faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's easy to say, but we need as mothers to implement certain routines in our daily life to keep us balanced. Our jobs are very, very stressful. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannah is under the feet of your mother, you know that what we do for our children, how we keep our families together, is a huge, huge and very important role. But it doesn't have to weigh us down. It doesn't have to pull us to the brinks of no return. If we implement these six routines and balance our life, alongside, of course, prayer, dhikr, reading Quran, I feel like we can make it through our motherhood and one day see all of our children slowly move on, get married, leave the home in a beautiful and happy way, and we will still, inshallah, be okay. So I hope these few tips, six tips, have helped. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining me, Maliha Teaches, for our Muslim Health Talk. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and so much more. All of our links can be found on Linktree Muslim Health Talk. Assalamu alaikum.